Let's stand as we sing, "Oh Say But I'm Glad." There we go, ready? There is a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has taken sins away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come, my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Wonderful, marvelous love he brings into a heart that's sad. Through darkest tunnels the soul can sing. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Won't you come to him with all your care, weary and worn and sad? You too will sing this love you share. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Please remain standing for prayer.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. After that, you can have a seat, and we'll go over a couple announcements here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be back in your house here tonight on this, the Lord's Day. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to us when we are unfaithful. Thank you, Lord, that we can come tonight and worship you, fellowship together. May you be glorified in all that we do. Lord, I pray that we would truly be glad, Lord. We wouldn't have the happiness of the world, but we'd have the joy of the Lord. And Lord, our joy would be based on you and found in you and not on our circumstances or things around us. Lord, we're so grateful. We look forward to heaven, Lord. That could be today. Lord, for those that are saved, you could come back at any time. So maybe we'd be busy about the work of the ministry, about the work of evangelism, Lord, until you come again. We ask your blessing, Lord, tonight and all that goes on. In Jesus' name, amen.
160. My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies, sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, Jesus.
Pastor, I'm going to have you pray one through up here. I'm going to receive the offering.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming forward. Hope that you'll give worshipfully to the Lord. Let's look to him in prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for all of the blessings that you give to us. Each and every day, each and every week and month and year, my Heavenly Father, we have seen you provide for us in ways that we can't even begin to describe. We thank you now that as we bring part of what you have given us back to you, that thou would help us to do it with a cheerful heart, loving you, worshiping you, understanding, my Heavenly Father, that we can never outgive you. I pray that you will bless this offering, use it for your glory, however you see fit. For we give it unto thee, my Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, 627 in your songbook. Now we're singing it as a standalone chorus. It is part of a medley in your songbook, but we're going to sing it as a standalone. Get you to stand, if you will, as we look to the Lord in song, worshiping him. Lift up your voices. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. We'll sing it through twice at least.
Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name, and that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Let's do it this way. This side sings next. Ready?
Jesus is the sweetest name I know, just the same as his lovely name.
Now you answer.
And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Let's do one more time all together. If you can sing parts, go ahead and do it. Ready?
Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name, and that's the
Thank you. You may be seated. I have some special music now.
Sydney, thank you, Nathan, for the offertory. Thank you, everybody who's participated tonight in the music ministry. All right, just before we open the Bible tonight, we're going to dismiss our Tykes for Truth with Mrs. Boyer and Miss Sharon Kemp, I think, is helping tonight. That would be three-year-old through first graders. Before we open our Bibles, I'm going to ask you to get out your 2023 calendar if you have one. If you don't have one and would like one, raise your hand and one or two of our men in the back will get that to you. Mike and Nathan are back there. If you don't have a calendar in front of you, hopefully we have enough there. If not, we have more out in the foyer. I want you to take a look at that as long as you have one maybe per family where you can see it. I want to go over just a couple things before we get into the Word tonight. You may have some thoughts or questions, and this is not an open forum necessarily for you, but I'm just going to point out a few things. You can make some notes. You could put down and say, no, not coming to that, all right, or whatever, but you can make some notes and things like that as you look over your 2023 year, Lord willing. we're making our best laid plans, but the Lord may have other plans. Certainly, we know how that is. All right, thank you, fellas, there. We'll print more up if needed there. And if you're like the average person myself, you may get five of these this year. All right, it disappears after a month or two. You can't find it, need another one. Sometimes savvy people take a picture of it with their cell phone, all right, and then they save it on their phone. You know how that is. So you do whatever you need to do. But thank you, men. Mike's jumping at it, Nathan, all the other guys. All right, let's take a quick look, just a few minutes tonight, at the calendar of events. Again, this is not a whole lot different than last year's. There are some new things maybe. There are some things shifted around a little bit. Again, this is not exhaustive. Normally what's in the bulletin is a little more detailed. These would be more of the, not necessarily bigger events, but ones that are there. Of course, anything is subject to change based on weather. Sometimes a speaker can't come. We had that happen several times last year. Remember, we had a revival with Alton Beal. Do you remember that? Was that good? Were you there? No, I won't ask you that. Don't put your hand up. All right, that didn't happen. All right. And Morris Gleiser, he was great, wasn't he, in last year's men's retreat? Oh, that didn't happen. All right, snow and ice. You know, you plan, things happen, you be flexible, adaptable, God's in control. So we understand that. All right, now you can look through there again. I'm going to also just touch on a few things here in the bulletin. So we've got coming up in 2 weeks, we have missionary Tim Stalkup and family. Now they were with us very briefly on a Wednesday night about a month ago. They slipped in at the end of service. And then they slipped out right at the end. You may have seen them. They were here. You may have said, who are those people? But they're missionaries to the Muslims in New York City. All right. It's a little different ministry. A large Muslim population in New York City. You say, wow, that would be, how do you go about reaching them, especially if you're just like an American, you know, are they going to let you in? So they are missionary ambassador graduates and missionaries to New York City. Our church in Asheville supported them, and I haven't seen him in about 2 years, but they happened to slip in, and we were chatting a little bit, and they had their full support, but some things have changed, and so he wasn't looking for it. I said, well, why don't you come by? You're not too far away. So they're going to be with us in the morning. You'll enjoy that there as you hear a little bit about ministry and how do you reach Muslims? How do you go about that? What's your ministry exactly? I'm excited about that. Craig Hartman, our Shalom Ministries there, also in New York City, to Israel and the Jews. He just touched base. They'll be with us in June. We've got a new missionary family going to be with us in May to Thailand. All right. And we've got a couple missionaries already lined up for our missions conference, which is in September. We've got one missionary family to Great Britain. And so we're working all of that, excited about having our missionaries coming in. And I knew who else. The Tack Clubs just touched base with me. They're going to be over on furlough here, and I think they're going to be with us in October. And so we've got several, excited about that. Love having our missionaries in. Try to have one usually every other month or so, Lord willing. And so I hope that those are exciting times. I hope you get excited for our missionaries coming to be able to minister to them. But let me just highlight just a couple quick things here. You'll notice we have several things designated for fellowship. And that would be like the last Sunday in February. It says church potluck. So that would be after the morning service. Have a time where we get together as a church family, a fellowship, a potluck, bring some food, fellowship downstairs. You may have noticed March, end of March, men's chili contest. Oh, after the PM service. See if we have any men in here that know how to cook. Do some chili there. Have a little contest. You put them out. Have some judges debate which one's the best one. Find out what happens. All right. Those are always fun to do, a little chili contest after service. You'll notice in October, ladies' dessert contest. All right. Now, those are usually better than men's chili just from experience. But sometimes you get surprised. But sometimes you have ladies say, wow, she's famous. She really makes this fabulous pie, or she's known for this cake or whatever. And you can have a great time on this. We have a couple of those. Some of those are fun. Ice cream social again in July. Of course, we have several of our church picnics. Some of you are new to the church. Church picnics there at the end of May, Memorial Day. One in July, on July 4th, and one on Labor Day. And so those are great things for the church. Church has done that for many, many years. Great time to come together as a church family. Bring the family, the kids, bring visitors, have a great time, Lord willing, on the weather. But those are some things that are church fun, family, things like that. We mentioned the Seedline Project in March. So if you're marking your calendar, again, that usually begins Friday night. It's not a church service, you saw on there, all right? The only service, there's no special service. It's Friday, come to the church. Most of it will be done downstairs in the fellowship hall. But one larger machine will have to be probably up here in the foyer. I talked to Al Braley about that. And he said, oh, you got plenty of room. This will be great. All right. And so, hey, everybody comes. It depends how many people come and how active we want to be in that. And we can get that done. And then you come back on Saturday at some point, morning, afternoon, finish it up. And then you have normal services. That morning service is just a special service set aside. But if you can mark that and say, hey, we were going to be gone that week, but we can bump the due to the previous week. We'd love to be here for the Seed Line project, all right? And really want to see our kids and teens and everybody be involved in that. Sometimes parents are like, well, my kid, I'm afraid to bring my children to ministry stuff. They may cause a ruckus. No, they'll be fine. Well, someone says, I'm older, I can't do a whole lot. Hey, you're going to be fine. All right, there'll be something for everybody, and it'll be great. And a lot of churches do that. I'm excited about that. Being able to put into practice getting the Bible out. Now, again, you might say, oh, I thought we were doing real Bibles. All right. I'm not sure we can be trusted with that. All right. A real Bible. But John and Romans, as you heard on there, they've got the printing machines that do the Bibles, but they produce millions and millions in John and Romans. They don't have the manpower to do all that's up there. So they rely on churches and ministries that do that. Some churches take the next step and become an actual Seed Line church to where they purchase all the material. And they're one of the key churches, and then people come to that church and do it. There's different levels. You can look online if you want to learn more about that one. Those are always exciting as well. We've got two cantatas, the April cantata, and of course, next December's cantata, some of our music ministry, many of you involved in that. Ladies, you've got a number of things on here, ladies. You've got the Joyful Heart Ladies Conference in March. That's usually down at Faith Bible Church. That's traditionally, you've done that the last couple of years. Many of you have gone to that, hosted by Servant's Heart. Of course, the Ladies' Seminar in November. A lot of different things on here. Let me just highlight the two major ones, and that would be in April. We typically have a spring-type special services, call it a revival, call it evangelistic meeting, call it Bible conference. Just depends. Every year could be different. But this year it'll be with Barry Webb. Barry Webb, I think, has traditionally been here every 3 or 4 years. Many of you have been here for Barry and his wife. They do a lot of different things, chalk drawings and different illustrations and things like that up here. And so that's a Sunday through Friday. All right, Sunday through Friday. So it's a little longer than the Sunday to Wednesday. We have two special Sundays where you're inviting visitors. That would be April 30th, Roundup Sunday. That's just called round up as many people as you can. All right? And bring visitors. That should be a good time to do it right after spring revival. If God does the work, we get revived, we're going to want to see people coming. And so we're going to want to get out there and bring in visitors, neighbors, and friends. And then we have one also in the fall in October, Friend and Family Sunday. We try to have at least, now you can bring friend and family every service, but we want to have at least two a year or more special services designated for that, to have a real push at bringing our community, family, friends, neighbors, and coworkers. I hope you will mark down the June 25th through 29th Vacation Bible School. Many of you have worked at that. We have a lot of new families. We'd love for you to jump in and help. That's always a good community outreach as well as to our own church family. And that's traditionally that last week in June. And you can look at all that. I'm not going to highlight everything here. Some of these things, quite a few of them are last year, similar type things. Our missions conference is bumped up just a little bit there in September, so that it took a couple years to sort of fit that exact spot. It was a little too late in October where it bumps up against the ladies' seminar. So I think that's going to be a better time there in September. And so that's going to be the conference, and that's always a Wednesday through Sunday, all right? So keep those things in mind. It has the theme at the bottom. You can sort of mark things. Again, we're not expecting everybody to come to 100% of everything. We understand there's life, there's family, there's priorities. You understand that. But if the church and the things of the church, ministry can be an important part of it, we would love for you to participate at all possible, get involved. Many of you are involved in a great way, and we are thankful and excited about that. Final thing, we have two Workday Community Days, one in April, right after Easter Sunday, and one in October. Last fall, I added a community day to that. So here's my burden and vision for that. We want to have the work days. Those are good. Our church family comes out. It's spring. We want to get things out, clean things up, do things around the church. Many of you have done a good job on that. And then we want to do one in the fall as well. Odd jobs around the church, maintenance, whatever it could be, things like that, sprucing things up, that's great. But my goal on those would be from like a 9 to 1, and that we split that between church work day as well as community outreach. Whether that is like we did last time, we cleaned up several of the streets around here in Duryea. You know, we did things like that. We tried to visit some of the neighbors. We took things to the fire departments, the police department, outreach. It can be different things. That can be where we throw it to you and you think of some great ideas. Say, this, how can we reach our community? Yeah, we're not just here to, we're reaching with the gospel. That's the most important thing. But we also want to leave a mark. We are part of this community. We're right here on Main Street. All right, we have a testimony. You may know what it is. You may not know what it is. Maybe you talk to people. You're not from Duryea. You know what do the businesses and neighbors think of IBC. Not that means it's a true reflection, but we want to leave a mark. We want to impact our community. And so I have a little bit of a desire and burden to do some things like that a little bit here and to do that with our church family. And we'll talk more about that. But put on your thinking caps. You may have come from a church that did some things. You have some good thoughts or ideas. You may pray about it. Think, how can we minister to our community here? Yes, number one, with the gospel, all right? We're sharing Christ, leaving an impact, but also being a testimony. All right, sometimes churches don't have great testimonies, you know, sometimes they do. And so that we're part of that. So think on that. There's a lot of things on here you can be involved in. And you, as you know, the year will go quick. All right, it's hard to believe 2022 has already passed. And so again, the Lord could come. We may not get all this in. And we don't know what the future holds, but we're going to plan and we're going to prepare. And I hope that you will be part of it. All right. So again, if I can answer any individual questions about something or concerns, please let me know. We're always willing to tweak things. There's always a better way to do some things, and we're excited about looking forward to this year. All right, I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 tonight. Our January month, again, our goal this year is rather than have specific theme nights, we're going to have theme months. I did this lots of times with our youth group, but I've not ever done it with a church, so we'll see how it goes. Sometimes those can work better because, as you know, if you only do a testimony night, first Sunday night, sometimes weather knocks it out. Sometimes you have a special speaker, and then you're like, wow, it's been a long time we had testimonies. And you can sort of, so a lot of times when you focus on the entire month, then, for instance, we'll have a testimony month. That means the entire month, each Sunday night, we'll have testimonies, but only during that month. We'll have a music month, to where each night we'll probably give a hymn history, we'll teach a new song, we'll have a singspiration, where the entire evening is designated that. We'll have some different ones like that, right? We'll probably have a track month, we'll have a America month, and different things. We'll have some different themes that we'll focus on that won't be the entire message, but it'll be a theme for the month that to get our hearts and minds on that. One thing I just thought of, I forgot to mention, any fifth Sunday that we have, I think there are four, this year, there might be five. Any fifth Sundays, there will be one this month, all right? Anytime we have a fifth Sunday, the emphasis on that night will be teen night. Three just woke up. No, I'm kidding, all right? Now, we introduced, if you remember the last fifth Sunday, we said we wanted that to be our young people, younger men, teens, ushering, and they did do that. So that's not going to change. Fifth Sundays, when some of our younger guys or teens, things like that, they're going to be the ushers, give them some experience. They've done that at least once. But we want to do a little bit more than that. It doesn't mean it's not a teen service. Don't get too scared, all right? It doesn't mean you're running the entire thing, all right? But we would like there to be every fifth Sunday a little more emphasis on our teens. And so it could be that a young man comes up here and leads the music. Now, there's only a couple young men in here at the moment, all right? They're all looking at me with contorted faces, I know. Same way I would have looked when I was in youth group, all right? Didn't say they are going to, but they could, all right? It could be that maybe on the fifth Sundays, this evening special is similar to tonight, like say a teenager does it, or does the offertory, something like that, all right? It doesn't mean they're going to do everything, but it just means to be a little point of emphasis. We may make that on fifth Sundays, having the young people get involved. Many of them are involved, but getting a little more involved in that evening, and a little emphasis maybe on the family and preaching on family in the home. So think of that. Those are some thoughts and ideas, things we'd like to implement. All right? This month is ministry month. Ministry month. We want to talk about ministry. We want to talk about ministries in the church. We want to talk about how you can be involved in ministries. And we want to talk about what God would have all of us to do in ministry. All right? Now, next Sunday night, we'll have the music concert, so we won't have a normal evening service. I may have Shane at the very beginning. I believe they'll be with us. I may have him talk a little bit about the music ministry here, choir, as that'll be starting back up, the music ministry for a few minutes. But largely, next Sunday night will be the Dean family as they minister in their music concert. But every other night, we'll have some different ministries. I'll put our Sunday school teachers on this. Not tonight, I won't put you on the spot. I'm giving you a heads up. Probably next Sunday morning, during announcements, I'm going to have our Sunday school teachers, in, or if you assist a class, to come to the front and to tell the church what class you teach, how many students are normally in it, and what you're currently teaching. So that would be, we have three children's classes, we have a teen class, and then I'm the lone adult one, all right? And because we have a lot of people who don't come to Sunday school. And so they might, you may not even know what the classes are teaching. You might say, I have no idea what the fourth through sixth grade are teaching right now. The students may not know what the adults are studying. And so I'm going to have them come up here. That's all they've got to do. You may not even know who helps with some of those classes. All right, some of them have some helpers, some assistants, if they're sick or not able to do it. And so probably do that next Sunday morning. Just take a couple minutes. And that lets the church family know, folks that come on Sunday morning only, that we have Sunday school classes. Here's what's being taught. It would be great if you have children, you have teenagers, or an adult to come. Could be something that God would want you to come and prick your heart. You could learn and grow. So we'll be emphasizing certain ministries. If you are in charge of a ministry, you might have you say something on a Sunday night. You may have some specific needs. You may have some specific prayer requests that we don't know about in a specific ministry, okay? So I'm going to talk about a couple of those tonight in the second half here. We've got about 30 minutes or so, or a little less, and so I'm going to look in the Word of God, and I'm going to bring up a couple ministries here at the church that you may or may not be aware of. Most you'll be aware of. Some of you are involved in a lot of these, all of these, perhaps none of these. But it could be that you would like to be. And maybe you didn't realize that you could be involved in a ministry, all right? So Mark chapter 10 is where we're at. Mark chapter 10. Let's read verses 42 to 45. Mark 10, 42 to 45. Pew Bibles are there. If you came without a Bible, feel free to grab one of those. Second book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, chapter 10. I'm going to begin reading at verse 42 through verse 45. What's the context? The context is the disciples have been arguing. No shock there. Get 12 of us in a room, you think we'd argue? All right. And pick 12 random men in this room and just have you together for 3 years. Actually, I thought of that at the breakfast yesterday. I thought, wow, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? All right? We're all different. We all look at things differently, our personalities. We know how that works. Think of the disciples now. So, you know, that's exactly what it was like. Get a tax collector, get a zealot, get some fishermen. All right, boom. And you got these, you know, this is how we should do it. No, they argued a lot of times about who was the greatest. Who was the best disciple? Who did Jesus like more? Who did he? You know, and they were arguing here about this. And so the Lord is teaching a lesson here, and he comes to verse 42, and it says, But Jesus called them to him, that's the disciples, and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles, those that are given positions of authority, exercise lordship over them. All right, those who are chosen to rule, they use their authority to rule. You know that. That's how it works with the Gentile world. At the end of the verse. And their great ones exercise authority upon them. We all understand that, I hope. You work for somebody, there's a boss, there's authority, a teacher, someone. Okay, authority, yep, uh-huh. Verse 43. But so shall it not be among you. That's how the world does. That's how the Gentile world does. But that's not how it's going to be among us. But whosoever will be great among you. You want to discuss about who's the greatest? Shall be your minister. Your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest, number one, shall be servant of all. And then he comes to really, I think, the supreme verse, verse 45. For even the Son of Man, he's referring to himself, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, I realize that this in itself is not talking about church ministry. I understand that. All right? I understand the context. I think you do as well. All right? It's about servanthood. It's not about who can be first, who's the greatest, first in line, look who Jesus picked, look where I'm sitting, I've been a disciple the longest, you know, that, none of that kind of stuff. And the Lord is teaching them that that's how the world operates, you know. Be number one, climb the corporate ladder. You're in charge. Raise your voice. Tell them what to do. That's how that worked, but that's not how it's going to be among my children, my people, my disciples, my followers. No, uh-uh. You want to talk about who's the best, you want to brag, and no, no. Who's going to be the chief? Who's going to be number one? Who's going to be the greatest? It'll be the servant. the greatest servant. Boy, that's challenging in itself, isn't it? Now that, I believe, is the proper interpretation of the passage. We're going to use it for application, though, in the area of ministry. Christ says here in verse 43, "Whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister." Verse 45, he said, "I did not come to earth, though I'm God. I didn't come to earth to be ministered to. I didn't come here and say, all right, you know, hey, look who I am. Everybody, you know, treat me. You come and do all this." No, I came to minister. I came to serve. I came to give my life a ransom for many. So let's talk tonight about two things, the word minister and the word ministry. We'll look at a few Bible examples, and then we're going to branch off into some ministries we have here at our church. The word minister right here, and many times in the Scripture, means basically to serve. Yeah, you know, someone says, hey, you're a minister. All right? That's where, you know, there's the minister of the church. Or, hey, minister. All right? Minister means to serve. It means to attend. It literally has the same as a waiter. It means to wait on. The Greek word here, many of you know, is the word diakonos. That sound like anything? Diakonos. Deacon. Deacon. All right? Where we get the word deacon? A deacon is a servant. All right? Same word there used. Whosoever shall be great shall be your minister, your servant, your attendee. Meet the needs of others. The first mention of minister in the Bible, first time you'll see the word minister, is back in Exodus. We'll not turn there. Exodus 24:13, talking about Moses, and it says, Moses and his minister, Joshua. Remember, Joshua was that understudy. Joshua was that servant to Moses. Moses was the leader for 40 years. Joshua was his minister. Joshua. You see it again in Joshua 1:1 where it says, Moses died and Joshua, Moses' minister. Joshua served. He served and he was there. And then he then moved, though, into a position of authority in the book of Joshua. And he became the leader then for 30 years. But for many years, Joshua was a servant. He was a minister to Moses. You'll see it in 1 Samuel 2:11. "And the child did minister unto the Lord," speaking of Samuel. Remember, Samuel was taken there to serve the Lord and to serve Eli. He's called a minister. He was there to help and do. What can I do? What do I need to do? I'm here to serve the Lord, serve Eli. Romans 15. Let's turn to Romans here, if we would. We're going to look at some New Testament references. Go to Romans 15. Romans 15. So the word minister means to serve, to attend, to wait on. That's where we get the word ministry. Hey, we've got some ministries here. We need some help. We don't have enough help in this ministry. A ministry is, when we're speaking of the church, would be different opportunities in the church to serve. It's a way to be a help, to serve the Lord, to serve the local church, to serve your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. If we had no one willing to work in the nursery, there would be people who wouldn't come to church, perhaps, because the child's too little, or it's going to be distracting, or they haven't learned how to sit still. Or they'll bring in here, and then other people are going to get upset. I can't understand. The child's making lots of noise. So we have a nursery. That's a ministry. So, well, we didn't have anybody teaching any classes. All right. Then you say, well, I mean, the parents, that's their job. Okay. Biblically, I suppose. But we have some ministries of teaching ministries. Wednesday night programs, little tykes, children's classes, Sunday school. Those are ministries. There are people in those who are serving, meeting a need. Hey, some people say, yeah, it'd be great to be in church and get fed. There's sometimes others are like, they're serving all the time. There's certainly a balance there. Notice Romans 15, verse 25. Romans 15, 25. Paul says, "But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints." Ah, there we go. Well, we know saints aren't dead people, are we? Pretty hard to minister to the dead people, all right? Saints. Saints means set aside ones, sanctified ones, saved ones, believers. Paul said, I'm going to minister to them. I'm going to serve them. All right? And let's look at some New Testament examples. If you're in Romans 15, you can just drop your eyes down a few verses down. Look down to chapter 16, verse 1. Chapter 16, verse 1. "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant. There's that exact same word, minister, servant of the church, which is at Centuria. Notice, she's a servant and minister out of a local church. She is part of a local church. And verse 2 says, that ye receive her in the Lord. Many believe that she was the one that delivered this letter to the Roman church. You may have a study Bible at the bottom that says that. That no one can prove it, but it's believed that maybe she was the carrier. She delivered that letter to the church at Rome to be read. Sounds like it, right? I commend unto you. I'm recommending her. I'm letting you know what a blessing she is. Verse 2, I would like you to receive her in the Lord. Maybe they had never met her. As become a saint, as a fellow believer, welcome her. And that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a... Now we come to a word that moms and dads, time to explain this one to your kids, because they're going to snicker when I say it. She hath been a succor of many and of myself also. So I hope your children listen. I hope they say, what is that? A succor? Do we use that word today? Not really. succor. You might have a little study Bible. You say, I don't know what that one means. All right. So what do we have here? We have a lady. We don't know her age. She's called a servant, which is really the same word here. It's a feminine use of the word deacon. She belongs to a local church. She's a servant. She's a minister, if you would. Not a pastoral position. She's helping Paul in some aspect, it appears. She's going to maybe a place she's never been. And she's been, again, that word succor, that means one who gives help in time of need. Also refers to Jesus one time, at least in the scripture. She's assisting. She's coming alongside of. She's been a tremendous blessing. She is a minister and a helper. Receiver. Wow, that's wonderful. All right, let's go over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to go look about four passages, and we're going to talk about a few ministries. Ephesians chapter 6. Notice, again, we're going to say some names of sometimes some people that many times believers don't know who they are. I know we know the big names. Paul and Peter and John and James, and that's great. And the Davids and the Elijahs and the Moses and the Abrahams. Many times we don't know some of the smaller names sometimes. The Phoebes, the Antipases. All right, a couple men here that we'll mention you may or may not be aware of. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 21 and 22. Ephesians 6, 21 and 22. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Now again, how do we pronounce these names? Nobody knows. You can pick it how you'd like. Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Hey, he was a faithful minister. Now, that may not mean a pastoral role. He is a servant. He is a help. He is a blessing. I'm sending him to you. He'll let me know how you're doing. You can tell him anything. And he's going to be a great help and blessing come alongside of. All right? What a blessing. Next book over, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Take a look there at verse number 19, Philippians 2:19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus, remember Paul's in jail, to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own. He's talking about believers here. He's not talking about the unsaved world. He doesn't really have anybody quite like him. Everybody seeks their own, their own interests, and not the things which are Jesus Christ. That's a powerful verse. Verse 22, ye know the proof of him, Timothy, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel, served, ministered with me. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Wow, keep reading. You have another fellow. Verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother. Not literally, he's talking about in the faith. And companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, church at Philippi, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. He almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have had sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye shall see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation or high value, because that for, notice, for the work of Christ, we could say for the ministry, for the sake of the gospel, he was nigh unto death, but not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service to me. You know, many people never even heard of him. He was pretty dear to Paul, though, wasn't he? Boy, he was serving and ministering, almost died, could have been for the very cause of the ministry. And God spared him, and he has been a great help and blessing to me when I could not do it. We could read many more. Our time is up. We could read about Epaphras and Colossians, Titus and others that were ministers and served in the church, the local church, and the larger churches, if you could put it that way. Now, let's talk about the word ministry. Minister, ministry, same form. Let's go to, we'll just look at one more verse. Go to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. We try to go to the right. That way we're not going back. I apologize if you're left-handed, all right? You say it's easier to go left, but 1 Peter 4. We'll look at one more verse here. You say, okay, but what about the ministry? But Pastor Moore, I'm not called to the ministry. I say, let's go out for lunch, talk about that. All right? What does that mean? Where'd you hear that at? What do you mean? Now, I realize that there are different types of ministry. There's certainly full-time ministry. There are offices and positions that God has designed. We know that, Ephesians. All right? Roles in the church, the pastoral. I understand that. All right? Understand that may not be what God has for you. The role of that, or an evangelist, or a missionary as far as full-time, or maybe God's... Okay, I understand that. But as far as ministry is just serving the Lord or serving in the local church, I don't believe it comes down to a calling. I believe you are called. I believe the moment you were saved, you were called to minister. Now, you might not think you're worthy. You might look at ministry as just sort of well-known things. You know, teaching. I can't teach. Or preaching. Or certain things like that. Or singing. And maybe the ones that are more, you know, regularly in the service. And not think of other ministries. But notice 1 Peter 4:10. Again, this is in a passage of Scripture that discusses spiritual gifts. Something we haven't got to quite yet, but we will. Spiritual gifts. Verse 10, we'll just look at one verse, 1 Peter 4:10. As every man, and that's just a generic word for man, woman, person, it's talking about believers. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, I believe that every believer has a gift or more than one gift given by God for specific use in the local church, the body of Christ. We'll look at that at some point. I understand there's those that may disagree with that. Now, I don't know if anybody here does, but I know people who do, and that's fine. Certainly, we can see as every man hath received the gift, or we could say a gift, given to minister the same one to another. And notice, God expects us to be good stewards. We often use that only with money. Stewards of what he has entrusted us with. We're to be good stewards with finances. God has entrusted that. It's his finance. It's not mine. It's not my money. It's God's money. I'm going to give an account of being a steward of what he's given me. My health, my family as a husband, as a dad, my wife, as a pastor, I'm going to give an account of this ministry. But I'm also going to give an account of any gifts that God, the Holy Spirit, has given me to better serve him and to better help the local church. I'm going to give an account of that, and God wants me to be a steward of that, a wise steward of that. Why? For the sake of the ministry. We could look at the one another's in the New Testament. By love, serve one another. That's all believers. All believers, by love, should be serving one another. That's ministering. But I do believe that believers in a local church should be involved in local church ministry for the cause of Christ. I have two definitions here, and they're not my own. I read these. I thought they were both good. Here's two different definitions of what we would call ministry. And you can agree or disagree. Maybe you have your own definition. Ministry in the church is not a calling, but a privilege for all believers. It's giving of our time, talents, and resources to help and serve others through the local church. and then a little longer one that I read that I thought was good, talking about church ministry. It's what we do for God's glory based on where He has placed us, how He has gifted us, and what He has called us to do according to His wisdom and for the sake of the ministry and the gospel. Now, I realize that I'm talking about local church tonight. I understand you could say, well, I've got a ministry in my neighborhood. That's great. Or I look at this as a ministry, you know, where I work. Okay, that's fine. Or, I've got a ministry to my grandchildren. Okay, that's fine. Tonight, we're focused on church ministry, though. Part of the local church, ministering in the local church. All right? It's what we do for God's glory, based on where He has placed us. God may move you on to another state, another place, another church. All right? How He's gifted us, and what then, how He wants us to use those gifts for His honor and glory, with the primary goal, I believe, of ministry, obviously, would be evangelism, the sake of the gospel, making disciples, edifying and equipping believers for the Lord. We accomplish God's mission on earth as we evangelize and make disciples. Now, that to me is ministry. That's ministry. And I believe that God would have all believers be part of a ministry. Many of you are full of multiple. And again, we understand that sometimes age and health no longer allows a person to be as actively involved as they would like to be. All right? We understand sometimes distance, job. We understand family. Certainly, if you have many little children, you might say, well, right now, that's the ministry, all right? That's my number one ministry, and maybe when they get a little bit older, we understand that, all right? And the different times and places of where God had you, and some of you have been through those phases of life, and you're in different stages, all right? And you might say, oh, I used to be really, but ooh, things change and affect that. So let's talk about some ministries. The church has many. Now, we had passed these out, and I have these again. If you filled one out last year, no need to fill out a new one, but we've had folks come to the church, whether visiting or joined since then. I have a sheet here. It's called IBC Service Opportunities, and we could use the word ministry. It's the same thing for members and prospective members. And so if you have never filled one of these out, or you filled it out last year, but you'd say, I'm going to get a fresh look at that and fill it out again, this doesn't obligate you to anything. All right? It just simply asks about what ministries are you currently actively involved in here at IBC? You might say, well, not really any. We just started coming. And then it has what ministries in the church interest you? Or what ones have you been involved in, perhaps, if you've been part of another church somewhere? What have you been involved in? What are you interested in? And maybe at the back it says, you know, what you may or may not be aware of what your gift or gifts are. And you may not know what that is. And so that's all it is. And that way that can help me. And just to look at that, and it might say, hey, I see here, you seem, wow, you really look like you love music. I see you used to do a lot of stuff. Or I see, okay, so you must have a little experience here in maintenance. Tell me about that or something. And you say, oh, I really loved doing that. Or I used to do that previously. Or that's just something, I tell you what. Well, that helps us. So I do have those. I'll try to remind you at the end, if you've never filled one out or you'd like to do it again, that could be something that would be a help with ministry. Let's just talk about a couple here at the church. We have about 10 minutes or less. All right? We have some ministries here that you can be involved in. You do not have to necessarily be a member. Many of them, you do need to be a member of the church, and of course, membership is not the only thing. You have to be willing. You need to be faithful, obviously. There has to be sometimes, depending on the ministry, you might have to see Lisa Goble, some background checks, some paperwork here that Pennsylvania requires, our church requires, some of those kind of things. So please understand, if I say a ministry tonight, you're like, boom, I'm coming to start next week, all right? That's awesome. Thank you for your eagerness and enthusiasm. All right, but there may be a few things you have to go through. That's just the way it is, all right? But let me just mention something. I didn't pick anything, I didn't go through all our ministries. I just wrote these down as they came to me. All right, so we have the sound booth, all right, back there. We've got the sound booth, and that can entail sound, IT, computer, web page. That can go a lot of different things, all right? Jim Page, I did it for many, many, many years, still involved in that. Nathan, of course, involved in that. Jim Philippek, involved in that. Kramer back there. Sometimes you forget the names. You're randomly going fast here. Nick back there. All right. We've got some guys that are in there. That's great. Others of you may have helped in the past. Of course, it's been changed a lot than the old days, perhaps. All right. To where you just flick a switch or two, boom, boom, and you're good to go. So it's a little more sophisticated. But that's a ministry. Many of you have experienced that ministry when you were sick at home. and you can watch, and you say, wow, there's somebody, you know, and or you may be out of town, or you want to go back and watch something, or you're able to tell some relatives, or, hey, watch the cantata or something, and that's a ministry, or you go to the web page if you've been on, a lot of different things, no sound booth, that's a ministry. Ideally, though, we could use a couple more people in that ministry, because if you only have a few, and that's the way, well, you know, then you're not in really any service. Or all your time and attention is back there with Zoom and the computers and sound and different things. Or Pastor Ware throws a microphone at the last minute or says, let's do a video, doesn't give you a heads up. All right, those kind of. So ideally, there could be someone here tonight watching you say, hey, that's right in my wheelhouse. I love that kind of stuff. Now, for me, I have any interest in that. All right? Not whatsoever. All right? No big deal. Let somebody else do it, all right? Not my kind of thing. You don't want me back there going, woo, all right? I just don't have an interest in that. I don't have a gift. I don't have the ability. It's not big. Now, I could learn it. I could plug in. No big deal. If somebody says, I need you to do it, sure. That's not going to be my full-time ministry, even if I wasn't the pastor here, all right? But that could be something you say, yeah, I really like it. I just, my mind just, you know, right here, Larry's the sound guy at his church, all right? And he's excited. He's smiling, all right? Yeah, that's my thing. We can talk about microphones and all these kind of things and what the soundboard is that some of us are like, I have no idea what you're talking about, all right? But that's an important ministry. It could be here tonight. You say, well, I don't know what that entails. I'd have to find out. You're right. I'll have to come early. You got to do some other things. It takes some time. You can't just get plugged in there. That could be a ministry that you say, I would really like to be involved in that. That's an important ministry. It's one of those, like a lot of ministries, you never notice it unless something goes wrong. And then everybody hears about it, right? We're not going to hear anything. There's no sound. As long as it's run correctly, no one says a word. You may never even say, hey, great job. But as soon as and everybody here, you're like, oh, man. There you go. We kept hearing this noise in the background. Da-dun, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. All right? But it's one of those that you often overlook, but you take for granted, but it's a needed ministry. Nursery. If you in any way work with the nursery, stand up. You're on the nursery schedule. Huh? That's quite a few people. That's not everybody. You say, that should be plenty. Have a seat. That's tons of people. All right? Well, now let's remember now. Nursery for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Have to have at least two in there every time. That's eight a week. You want the same eight people being in there so they're never one time in the service, so they're never one time sitting with their husband or wife, so they're not ever getting fed spiritually? Is that a ministry? All right, you say, well, that's a ministry. We can always use more help on that because obviously it would be great if you just said, hey, I'm just in the nursery once a month. We have enough people one time a month. Now, sometimes if you're sickness or you have to shift it around, that way I can be in the service. I can be being fed. I can sit with my family. That's a ministry. Many are involved in that. But again, that's a challenging ministry because as Linda or whoever deaconesses have had to do that, not everybody comes to all the services. So you have a large group of people who only come to Sunday morning. Well, then you have a very small number that come on Wednesday nights. You have a smaller number that come to Sunday school. So then ministry. And that's a ministry. We have teaching ministries here. Now, it could be our Sunday school classes. We'll talk about that probably next week. Our Wednesday night truth trackers, our little tykes that just went out. Our children's church ministry. We have quite a few people. Some of you may not know exactly how that's run. All right, how many people are involved in that? All right, that takes a lot of work. We have some young people that help and sort of assist in those ministries. If you're involved in any way in any teaching ministry, Sunday school, Wednesday night, not the nursery, children's programs, children's church, stand up. You're involved in any of the teaching ministries as an assistant, a helper, or the main teacher. Okay. All right. Thank you. Have a seat. We have a cleaning ministry. Now, that's not the most exciting. Again, it's only noticed when you don't do it or you don't do it correctly or you forget. We've all been there. Oh, my word, that was my week, all right? I got my friendly reminder, all right, on Sunday afternoon, all right? But I didn't, that was Sunday afternoon, all right? I'm not going to clean till Saturday, and I didn't think about it. I've been there, we've done that, like, oh, my goodness, I think we were supposed to clean, all right? And those things happen. But, you know, cleaning ministry, nobody notices until you see a bunch of dirt or you see cobwebs or you see hymn books missing, and you start to say, somebody didn't do their job, all right? And, you know, hey, if you're involved in any way on the cleaning program currently, stand up. Okay, thank you. Have a seat. Now, That doesn't mean that everybody can be or has to be. You don't get paid, all right, for any of these, I don't believe, all right? And they're ministries, but it is a ministry because if somebody didn't do it, what would happen? I wouldn't notice a week or two, but after a couple weeks, how long to the floor downstairs? Somebody should mop this thing. It's pretty nasty. The bathroom's not been cleaned. We don't even have paper towels, all right? The garbage, come on, that smells. It's little things, though, but that's a ministry of the church where you are serving. Doesn't really take a whole lot of talent on that one for people who say, well, I don't have any talent, all right? Well, it's just, hey, willing to serve. That's a ground level ministry that's very important. There are people in some churches that just have one person or family that does it constantly. There are some places that are bigger ministry, they have a paid custodian or janitor. There are some places, churches like this one and churches I've come from, where you just have rotation. Could we pay someone to do it? Of course we could. All right? But we have enough people. There's smaller churches that may not be able to do that. They have older people. They don't live near the church, and so maybe they have to. But we have quite a few people. It's not that difficult. You're not cleaning the entire church. All right? Not everybody can do it, but it doesn't take that long. It's a great thing, especially when you have children, to get them involved and say, this is the Lord's house, the meeting house. A great opportunity to learn to serve, do things decently and in order, take care of that. What a privilege to be able to do that. Straighten hymn books, pick up garbage. Hey, that's wonderful. That's a ministry that's easy, sometimes once every 4 to 6 weeks. We have the music ministry. We'll probably hear about that next Sunday night. That's the choir. That's those that play some of these, the offertories. If you're involved in any way in the music ministry here, stand up. Choir, you do special music, you play the instruments, things like that. All right. All right, thank you. Have a seat. That's an important ministry. Now, that's one that sometimes, they're not gifted in that. You know, we'll say stuff like that. All right? And then you say, well, it's the joyful noise side. And then it's the, there's a fine line there. I understand that on some of those kind of things. But that's a ministry. You might be gifted in that. From what I've heard, Nathan saying this morning, Nathan played doctor, did a great job, didn't he? But I've heard that everything he learned was from his sister Debbie, all right? I've heard she's, what Nathan knows is in her little finger, all right? Not to cause any ruckus there, but there's some talented people back here. John back there, there's some people that do music you may or may not know of. We've had people in churches we've served at. We've been in church with them 10, 15 years, did not know they even did music. And then all of a sudden say, oh yeah, I do play this instrument. What do you mean you play? Oh, well, how come you've never done it? Well, what? All right, that doesn't mean you have to be forced to it, but it's a music, it's a ministry, it's an encouragement, it's a challenge, it prepares the hearts, can encourage. That's a ministry. Let me mention here, I've got 2 minutes, let me mention a couple unofficial ministries that could be something that you might say, hey, I think I could do that, and I might even love to do that. It's probably ones that have been done in the past. I have no idea. In fact, I know that some of these have. Let me just do a real quick here, and we're done. One would be involving the Pastor's Fellowship. We have pastor's fellowships once a month, usually about 10 or 11 a year. One's tomorrow. Young men are invited to come to that. Pastor, roughly how long has IBC been the one doing that? 30-some years. And if I were, I'm putting them on the spot, and go ahead, if I said in a sentence, what's the purpose of the pastor's fellowship? Okay. All right. So men that come in, some are, bivocational, some are very small churches, some are larger churches, some come from over an hour away. They come. You're right. As a preacher, sometimes you never get to be fed. You're never underneath that. You never get to fellowship. You never get to discuss. You think, I'm the only one that's a failure. I'm the only one that, many pastors, your worst day is Monday because you beat yourself up. That was a horrible message. That was terrible. No one said anything. That was horrible. I went way too long, too short, 2 minutes straight. And you come and you get encouraged. You pray together. A lot of men say, this was, I could take off today, but I come to the pastor's fellowships, all right? That could be a ministry. What do you mean by ministry? I'm saying this. You might say, hey, I'll be the one that just comes here at 8:30, gets the coffee ready, I'll pick up the donuts, put things out there. The men are done by 9:30. I clean up and I'm out of here. That's a little ministry. Most wouldn't know you did it. You might have time to do that. I'd like to begin twice a year. Our church provides the lunch for the pastors. Most of the time we say, hey, we'll go to Marie's Diner, we'll go to the buffet up here, and that's fine. But I'd like twice a year, probably March, October, say, hey, just stay here. We've got it ready downstairs. No cost to you. You don't have to worry about travel. Let's go downstairs. We're going to provide it. We can have more time to fellowship. That would be a great ministry. Now, that would take some people that say, hey, food's my ministry. Food's my gift. I like cooking and doing it. I get a little group. We'll do that twice a year. That would be a great encouragement to the pastors. That would be a ministry that I could really enjoy doing. One that ties in with that would be the men's prayer breakfast. We do those six times a year. That means there's only five left. That's every other month. All right? Right now, Mike Parent and Pat Holbert do a good job. They did most of last year. Do a great job. However, they've got families. They've got children. They've got responsibilities. They're not asking to get out of it, but there could be times where they're not always able to. We could have another two men that would say, hey, just put me on the rotation. You know, they do it 1 month, and we'll do it the next time. And then we go back and forth, or I'll be the backup if one of those guys is out of town, or they got sickness, or they can't come, and just count on me. I'll come in there and do the cooking, or I'll help set up, or I'll buy the food. That's not many times a year. Be glad to do that. That would be a great little thing there, all right? One final one here, and our time is up here. And one, this involves the choir. You might say, hey, I just don't have any music ministry. I don't know how I can serve here. Well, we do have a need for someone, two people at least, to watch little children of those that are in the choir. The choir is going to be starting back, next week, maybe the next week. We have quite a few that are interested in being there, but they have little ones. And, it's okay sometimes to have some little ones running around, but once you start getting a bunch of those, that's a distraction, all right? It's a distraction of the choir. It's a distraction. It can be a challenge there. And if I was a little kid, I wouldn't do well in that. And so sometimes it's a blessing to have someone say, hey, I can't be in the choir. I can't hold a tune, but I can, sir, I can be here. I can be in the nursery, and I can help along with somebody else, or I can be on a rotation. You count on me. Once a month, I can watch the kiddos from 4:30 to 5:30 while they have choir practice. That allows then some of the adults to actually be in choir instead of saying, well, I'm not going to be able to be in choir. We're going to watch the kiddos or whatever. So that could be a ministry. I'm not sure if that's something that's been in the past, but we'd love to be able to have those in the choir, and those that have smaller children say, hey, I know that they're being watched. I don't have to worry about where are they, or they're downstairs, or I hear some screaming, and those things happen. But if there's someone that said, hey, I could come and watch them for an hour or two people or eight people who can rotate once a month, that would be a ministry. Those are just some things like that, and you might have your mind turning and saying, hey, I could think of some things like that. Just some ministries. People don't even really have to know who's doing it. Little things that are a help and a blessing and encouragement to serve the Lord, to serve the local church, and to just get involved and see that God can use me to be a blessing and encouragement for His kingdom. All right? So think on that. Pray on that. This month's ministry month, we'll be talking about some, highlighting some in upcoming Sunday nights. And we're thankful for all of you who are involved. Excited to see some new folks get involved. Would you be praying about it and considering it? And if the Lord impresses upon your heart one or more, or starting a new one, let me know. Let one of the deacons know. We'll be excited about, Lord willing, looking into that. Okay? All right, let's go ahead and stand. We'll be dismissed tonight. I'll put these ministry forms right here at the front. If you've never filled one out, or it's been a while, you don't even remember what you filled out last year. All right? Or you want to look at it again, they're up here. You can take your time, fill those out, get them back to me. And then men, let me encourage you strongly. Wives, I hope you're encouraging your husbands to go to the men's retreat. I hope you say, honey, I want you to go. Not you need to go, all right? But I want you to go. This is good for you. Men need fellowship. This would be great for you. We'll take care of the kids. We'll take care of the grandkids. I want you to go. I don't want you to feel guilty if it's possible. Go and have a great time, all right? There could be someone here that say, I can't go, but I would be glad to provide for someone else to go. I can't go this year, but it's been a blessing to me in the past. And if someone can't pay for it, you see me. I'll take care of that. That'll be my private ministry to help some others. So we always have folks that do that, and I appreciate that. We're excited about it coming. It's coming up quick. We really need you to register by the 20th, which is just 12 days away. And let's work hard on getting our men, our young men, bringing some sons and relatives, brothers, whoever they are, get them to come out, sign them up, grab a brochure. Excited about Mike Pelletier coming this year. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the ministries at this church. Thank you for many who are involved, many who were or have been involved in years past. Lord, ministries that people don't even know of, Lord, the ministry of prayer. Lord, one that really we don't really know. There may be folks who pray for hours every day for our missionaries, our church directory, our people, and it is a private ministry of prayer. And yet they do it faithfully, Lord. Ministry of encouragement. They may do things anonymously that no one knows that they're the ones that met that financial need, came alongside of. But Lord, they do it for your honor and glory. Lord, I pray that we would be servants. I pray that we would model you, Lord, the greatest servant of all, who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Lord, use this local church in this community and around the world for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.